Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on a special edition of Mages, Sages, and Seers, we have Astrid, and she will be talking about transitions. Greetings, Astrid. How are you?
Greetings, Hercules, and to all our listeners. Doing well, you know, going through some transitions and changes here. It seems everybody I've talked to lately has been experiencing changes in their life, whether it's the machines revolting within their household, and oh, how we so rely on them. You know, it throws everything into a tizzy, but you just have to kind of deal with it, because as we know, we are the reliable ones, not the machines. They're just there for use. There you go. But the universe has been going through major transitions, and you know, we just kind of go along our busy ways, and we really don't pay attention to all the signs that are out there. So before we get into some of the transitions going on singularly and collectively, let's look a little bit at the universe. We had the new moon, July 28th, which was new moon in Leo. Very adventuresome, dramatic. It is the beginning of the Lion's Gate portal, which extends to August 12th. And mm-hmm. It's interesting because it goes from the new moon and it ends right after the full moon. And in between, we have this peak of unbelievable energy that's heightened on 8-8. Do you want to talk a little bit about the Lion's Gate portal before we go into the other aspects?
Sure. The Lion's Gate is something I've been observing for years now, and it coincides with a lot of my spirituality. It ends on the 12th, which is the first day of the Feast of Hercules Invictus in ancient Rome. And the following day is the second day of the Feast of Hercules Invictus in ancient Rome. They celebrate in the Boedromion, or the Ara Maxima, the Greek version and the Roman version during those 2 days. So that's kind of like a first. And for me personally, it extends until the 15th. Which is the day of the Queen of Heaven. In Christianity, it's Mary, and of course, in Greek mythology, it's Ida. And the temple of Hercules Invictus in Rome was dedicated to Mary during the rise of Christianity. So there's all sorts of other mythology, like, for instance, the path to the Lion's Gate before and beyond or during the Perseid meteor showers. And Perseus was an ancestor of Hercules and also son of Zeus. So while the whole Lionsgate thing is going on, the Perseid meteor shower is happening. There's also a very strong connection with the lion archetypes from Sirius. So there's a lot of mythology for me in the Lionsgate. And I actually started writing a bunch down about the mythology on Lionsgate. And in our workshop that we're starting on Saturday, I have a whole portion on the Lionsgate as well.
Well, that's fantastic. And for those that are not in the know, very simply, the Lionsgate portal is when the sun is in Leo, start with Leo, and it is in direct alignment. The Earth, the Sun, the Earth, Orion's Belt, and Sirius are in perfect alignment. Sirius is the brightest star going, and usually it is hidden by the Sun. But at this point in time, it is extremely bright, sees itself in a direct alignment to Earth, and that means an abundance of energy, which assists in setting goals and manifestation of aspirations. And there's a whole lot of other things going on. And as you say, with all the ancient cultures they revered this time, actually the ancient Egyptians, this was a really big thing, the Lion's Gate. It is the very beginning of their new year back then, because the star Sirius was honored and revered as the brightest star. And it is in direct alignment at that time with the pyramids of Giza.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just amazing the more and more you look into it. And on the in terms of astronomy, it coincides with Mercury squaring Uranus. Uranus is rush thinking and unpredictable, very unexpected news and sudden change. But then you also have that it's in trine with Jupiter, which allows for expansion. All of this energy and all of these planets doing what they're doing causes a major, major energy burst. And I'm sure our listeners have noticed it on the road. I've had people say to me, what is it, Mercury retrograde or what? All the machines are revolting in our households. Things, and it goes back to energy again, the energy grid. So, you know, could it be that? And there's these power outages and people unaware, major car accident on Route 80 the other day where all of Sussex County was pretty much knocked out for several hours and parts of Morris County because, of course, Route 80, Route 15 combo. So all of this energy has affected people in terms of being distracted, highly agitated because they're just unaware of this energy. This is the time to take it in, but you also have to be grounded. Grounded meaning that you have to, like, dig your roots in and hold on because that's how disruptive it can be. It's unbelievable. It really is. So all this energy, you take it in, but you don't act quickly because it's such a high frequency, this abundance. It will assist you in setting your goals, and it will assist you in manifestation of aspirations, particularly as the full moon comes and you put away what you no longer need and then reset your program for what's to come because this is finalization of your manifestations. So, yeah, it's amazing. And then, of course, 8-8 numerology, you know, of abundance, infinity, double eights, power, resilience. I love the karmic loops, second chances, you know, review, look at it, and then look at the patterns in your life as well. You know, what can you see as being karmic, whether it be from this lifetime or other lifetimes? Is there a pattern, fourth pattern that is stopping you from achieving what you need to achieve? You know, you have to basically go into yourself to observe everything that's going on and make a new start. And it is a transition, just like the seasons are transitioning, because we never think about this in terms of the year.
No, no.
We think of the four seasons. But when you look at, break it into thirds, you know, the January, February, March, April, it's the hunkering down and then beginning to emerge. The May, June, July, August is the fertile period of production, and it's all tied in with agriculture. As much as we think, we are not an agricultural society. You know, we're all techie. You need to go back to this because still your food comes from this. You know, the weather affects what you do in terms of sports, your cars. You even condition your cars and take them for tune-ups. It's amazing. You change your tires. And then now we're getting ready for the final third, the September, October, November, December, which is final harvesting of everything you've done those months, not just the farmers, but ourselves as well. What have you done these past months? And what are you going to do to change, you know, to make the most of this year? And what do you have to do to survive the winter? Because that's what our ancestors did. They looked at, in terms of the harvest, and August 1st was Lammas. And then actually, you know, people think, oh, it's a pagan holiday. No, it was started in Christianity. Basically, to be grateful for the very first crops that were harvested. That's the first harvest. And it's the one harvest where light is still dominant. It's still dominant. So you have more daylight. So you can take advantage of that. But then you have the second harvest, which is the autumnal equinox. And, of course, then at that point, that day of the equinox, which is, I think this year is the 20th, what happens is that it's a totally equal. Day and night are equal. So it's the second harvest. And you have different foods that are harvested. But more than that, now you're at that time when you put past the fertile period and you start looking to, you know, being held to account. Like, you know, what did you do this year? What do you think you have to change? You still have a few more months. And then we go to what people know as Halloween. Yeah, but we have other names for it, Samhain, some call it Samhain. But if you look at most cultures, that final harvest is giving homage to our ancestors. And it's a harvest way back when people would, the crops are going in and everything has to be completely cleaned up from the years. And you get ready and you hunker down for the winter. And this is the last time you're getting together. The ancestors are getting together whereas you say to one another, well, we're here. We're going to have to share because who knows what we're facing, you know, in the next cold months and less light. That's the next thing, too. You know, everything changes. Also, who's going to be around when we come back in the spring? Who will survive? What changes will happen? And we do that within our own selves. You know, what have we gone through that has changed? The new year as it starts, you know, with our hopes and aspirations and as we're going along, you know, where are we going? What changes do we have to make, whether it be economically, socially, health-wise? Because, you know, with each decade we come upon different factors in our life and our life and our way of living changes. So it's just so interesting how this all occurs. And of course, as you said, the Perseid meteor showers, the most vivid and longest meteor showers going throughout the whole year. And the peak is 11, 12, 13. Absolutely
yep.
Beautiful. The most meteor showers going. And the last full moon, the 11th is the last super, you should say the last super full moon, excuse me, in terms of close proximity to Earth. And that's a very intense emotional energy, too, with that moon so close, what it does to the tides, what it does to us emotionally. So it's a good time to rest and release, assessment of the goal set, the new moon, become more aware of our surroundings, embrace our intuition, see matters from a clearer perspective, and this full moon is in the water sign of Aquarius. So now we're looking at the humanitarian in nature, and I love this because it's always thinking of the collective group and what we can do for the good of all. But yet, Aquarius is a rebel. Definitely a rebel. You know, it's the rebel sign in terms of they're the one that wants to travel and do all these adventuresome things. You know, you'll see their interesting leaders, our union leader who made major changes and was so empathetic with a huge amount of employees under him in the union. He was always there in the building listening. So that's interesting. We're also having Saturn retrograde and Uranus connect with this rebellious moon. So the last time this happened, which was about a year ago, it was at 2:14, 6:14, and 12:24. And these dates triggered the Great Resignation, major protests, people being more reflective, like how far have we come and how far do we have to go? And we're starting to see this in people now, like holding people accountable for some of the things that have been said and done. And, of course, you know, there's a whole lot of ways you can look at it. You know, you can look at some of the cases going on right now with individuals in terms of saying things, you know, the InfoWars and Alex Jones paying for what he had said. You know, absolutely horrible in terms of the Sandy Hook.
He's
a conspiracy theorist, and it was horrible. He used a media company to spread lies about Sandy Hook, the shootings, saying that it wasn't true and that those 20 first graders and six educators that were killed was a hoax. And the families of the victims' families were actors. So, and that it was a secretive plot planned by the government as a pretext for taking away guns. unbelievable. And he harassed parents of these children, harassed them in interviews, said things about them, you know, out in public. Some of them had to move constantly because the people that related to him were harassing these families. I mean, this blows my mind. As bad as that was in terms to lose your child or to lose your family members, and then to be said it wasn't you, and then to be harassed publicly and physically, unbelievable. He was found liable already, but this trial is the first of three that will determine how much he must pay the families. There are two more coming, which will make his Infowar parent company, Free Speech Systems, into deal with all that. The fact he's trying to go into Chapter 11 bankruptcy and halt pending litigation, and it's amazing. So now people are saying, you know, we need to be held accountable for what we do. And just as we've seen with January 6th, the trials, and hearing all these different statements and the things that were said and done that we have never seen ever in our country. Never. Maybe the Civil War, but I mean, this at this time, you would hope that we're more educated and we have the more information, access to information, which in the end was a dual-edged sword because people believed what they wanted to believe rather than research themselves. So now that it's come out, and these are truisms, with even a particular party coming out and saying, yeah, there were members that said this was horrific. Mm-hmm. And, of course, secret tapes and this and that, where they said, you know, this is insane. You know, this is crazy what's going on. So we shall see where it goes in terms of how people are, in terms of ethics. Maybe we'll move to the center more and see that we need to be more bipartisan and have more feelings for one another rather than it's my way or the highway, and that everyone has rights, not just people that believe in one particular thing. It's not about a power play here.
No.
So, you know, we'll see what happens with that. But there's definitely a transition there as well. We see it. And in terms of transitions in this county, we have things going on in Sussex County that we see happening, getting ready for the change. Those 4 months coming up, we have the Sussex County Fair going on right now. It started this past weekend. Let me turn my page right. August 5th to the 13th. And each day, I love the way they started the program. If you got the program from them, you know, the papers and all that. Each day started with a particular event in terms of a nonprofit, who they would spotlight. And I thought that was so fantastic that they're talking nonprofits. Let's look at where we can put our emphasis. You know, like a Tuesday with a nonprofit spotlight with Ginny's House. Thursday tomorrow is Senior Day, and they're going to announce the nonprofit. And then on Friday, they have the nonprofit is DASI, DASI, and Father John's Animal House. And the last day, it's going to be the Center for Prevention and Counseling, the CLEAR program. So I'm happy to see that was on the very top of the pages when they got into the descriptions of the activities, you know, what it was. You know, it was Green Day on Monday, so their emphasis on green aspects. And they have a whole building there that is strictly devoted to all the chambers of commerce in Sussex County, all the different nonprofits, where you can go and pick up pamphlets, information. It's amazing the amount of information you can pick up there. And, of course, the emphasis on why this originally started, emphasis on the farms and the animals. So you have different animals there. You have the racing, you have barns of animals where the children are very involved with 4-H. You have other little things that are interesting. But the main thing is to highlight all the different aspects that have made this county what it is and it basically was farming, and it's come a long way with the nonprofits. And yes, there are a lot of activities. At the time I've been in this county, it has grown tremendously. So it's nice to see that people are being highlighted, and they're not forgetting all that we have here, particularly when you think about the fact that the transition for the next harvest will be, you know, all the apples and apple picking and all the different foods that are raised here on the farms within this county. And then, of course, the foliage, you know, which is pure aesthetics. It is just so beautiful. So it's such a gorgeous county to begin with, but then as we go through the changes, I just wish autumn would last longer up here, because it is amazing. It's sensory delight, not just visually, but the sounds, the changing of the animals. I have my deer that come into my meditation garden, and now they're bringing the little fawns in, and I'm watching their coat change and the way they're starting. All the animals are starting to pack away the food, you know, the chipmunks, the squirrels, the birds, the change of the birds that are there. So to live within nature like this, you get to see it all the time, and you really appreciate it. I have to say, it is so stunning. It really is. So here we go. The fair is the last hurrah for summer, and it's the changeover into other seasons. There are other changes going on. I'm happy to say the Sussex County is having its 9th annual Veterans Picnic, and that is on, I think it's the 20th. And, yeah, it is. It's the August 20th from noon to 2 p.m. at American Legion Post 213. On 915 Route 23, yeah, Sussex. And it's phenomenal. They have food, but they have the various service providers present to offer information and assistance regarding the programs available to vets and their families. So they'll have tons of agencies involved, U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs, Sussex County Community College, Catholic Family and Community Services, Sussex County Division of Senior Services, the Municipal Alliance and the Sussex County Mental Health Board. And you have to pre-register by August 12th. So there's other information with the Sussex County Department of Health and Services, Division of Senior Services, and I will send that information along to you tomorrow so you can post it. But, you know, this is a great thing because there so many things have been put to the wayside with COVID, and yeah, we're still, we've learned we have to be cautious, no two ways about it. And we also have to celebrate what we do for one another. They also had the 8th annual Changing the Face of Addiction Walk. That was on August 6th. So they're making it easier for people affected by substance abuse to reach out. I love the fact that there's so many things going on up here, whereas they're looking at taking care of the community. That's a great thing.
That is a great thing. And I wish that would be the focus of legislature, who's assisting the most people and improving the quality of life instead of trying to own the libs or hate on each other as people are doing.
Exactly. Got to work together. And I have to say, and I say this all the time, kudos to Josh Gottheimer, our House representative up here, because he works with both parties. He's worked so hard on passing so many things up here and to work together. And he was very big with the vets in getting aid to them. He's also worked with the police department in terms of getting training and different things, because the rural departments are smaller and they don't get the money from the taxes as much. So he's making sure there's training involved as well to deal with the different problems that exist. So important. I mean, teachers get professional development. All public employees should have training. All of them. When you're dealing with the public, you need to know how to serve them best. That's the whole point. And then we have the Taste of Newton coming up, and that's sponsored by Newton Chamber of Commerce. That's on 9/12, 5:30 p.m. The rain date is 9/19. And what happens is they shut down Trinity Street, that whole area, the downtown area, that one strip, and they had a showcase of restaurants and culinary businesses. So you buy a ticket. I think it's 50, but students pay 40, and there's reduced fees. And it's at two. I think they basically have. It's just you go around and you sample all the food and you learn about these different places. Sometimes you're afraid to go in a new place. You don't know what it's about, and there are so many different culturally diverse restaurants now, and it's this way you can try it out. And also the culinary students are fantastic, you know, with the different things going on in Sussex County. So that's going on as well. So there you go. You can share, open yourself up to new ways of eating. And something that's very near and dear to my heart, it is not Sussex County, New Jersey, but we are so close to crossing over the bridge into Milford, PA. This weekend, they are having the Artful Bear debut, and it's at 2 p.m. in Milford. Now, every year now, I think for like 23, this will be the 23rd year, in October, they have the Black Bear Film Festival, and what they do is celebrate film as an art form. They open up the old Milford Theater. They have different speakers and movies and films from all across the board, all different genres. It's amazing. Documentaries, older films, speakers, actors, directors. It is amazing. The quality of the films, the quality of the speakers, and it goes on for an entire weekend. It is amazing. And it's named after the black bear. They have black bears painted, sculptures all over, featuring a theme. So they will be debuted this weekend. So you can see the bears, and it's from 2 to 4, yes. And you can meet the artists and hear the stories behind how they're presenting their bear sculptures. And that's at the Milford Community House. So this is, it's a really a great event. It really is. I love to go to it. It's amazing, the different films that they offer and the variety all these years that they've done this. Like, this is the 23rd. They still manage to find something new, a new spin on it. So very, very interesting.
I remember when we looked at it, we used to go to the...
Oh, really? So did you frequent it?
We checked it out. It was in Milford, as you said, and it was a whole big thing. And at the time when we were in Pennsylvania, I was trying to get my show back on the road. I'd made a short film also, so we were trying to figure out how we can revive everything and show it at the Great Bear, like before it was Lake Placid Film Forum in New York where we shot our film. So it didn't come about, but that's okay. It was a great thing to have in the area.
That's phenomenal. Yeah, and they also, they just had a music fest where they had musicians playing all over Milford, you know, for free. And it was just so exciting because, again, all genres. And they're constantly focusing on all the arts. And it's great to see, you know, that the art is still alive and that people appreciate different aspects of it. It's wonderful. And people having a good time, going out and having a good time outside. So it's a great thing. And then we also have the fact, here's some transitions. Subacute in Andover, the place that was responsible for, during COVID, those deaths in those in the care homes, the nursing homes.
Yes.
Finally closed down. Shut down. They did not abide by the changes that they were supposed to institute. They did not want to hire more people. They did not want to do this. They did not want to do this. They did not want to follow the recommendations. Thankfully, they shut it down, and they had to move everybody out, which it's maybe difficult. I'm sure it was difficult for people in terms of what we do now. But at the same time, how can you have a place like that exist? Whereas they were hiding the fact that there were, I don't know, it was 17 people that passed away and just held them like in a, like a little building, just kept them in a storage unit. And it was horrible. and they had to be retrieved. Families had no idea what was going on. They weren't even allowed to know or to speak to their relatives. So there's a change, and it's for the better, because there is no way. You and I have talked about this many times in previous years, about the ridiculous fees that are paid monthly to some of these places and the abhorrent conditions that some of these people endure. You know, it's fraud, and it's fraud of the worst type because it involves human life. So, you know, another point of transition and passage. And we have the ongoing story of the Diamond Chip warehouse application.
And
what
is that?
This has been going on since March. The Sparta Township is, they have a capacity study, and they're looking to see if there's going to be, it's an ongoing debate over a new mega warehouse proposal that will be on Demers Road in place of a cement section. I think basically it's a warehouse that was dealing with cement. And you would have the trucks going on and off, and this Demers Road is adjacent to Route 15 and 206, which is a one-lane road. Okay, I mean, we have the shop right there and more lights. Majority of Sussex County people commute, and the commute is not a half an hour. Most are commuting minimum of an hour. And if you're in the area where you're dealing with 206-15, that is the way you're going. Even if you take a little side road, you come back to 15 in Jefferson, unless you're on the other side and you're on Route 23. So I can imagine how many people are using this road. And ShopRite has made a change. I mean, I'm sure that it's great in terms of taxes for Sparta, and all the different stores and shops are there, but I feel for the commuters because I myself have been in back-to-back traffic on that road when I'm trying to get to a doctor's appointment that should take 20 minutes, and I'm now there for 45, 50, 60 minutes. So I could imagine the stress dealing with getting to work and that hour of the morning. How early can you get up? But anyway, this proposal is for a huge warehouse. And the warehouse, let's see if I can get the facts here because it's ridiculous. It's something like 880,000 square foot, two warehouse proposal put before the planning board. The hearings have been going on since March 2nd. Many residents are coming to express their frustration and their opposition. And they had been on July 6th where the planning board's attorney requests that Diamond Chip submit a revised program and proposal. And because there were material design flaws that are not congruent with the town's ordinance, so they were supposed to do it. We shall see. I don't know the last one, what had happened, but it is amazing how this proposal didn't really start moving forward until there was an ordinance that was changed, Ordinance 21-01. They rescinded it, which enabled this proposal to come forward, and it has to do with alterations with, I'm sure, maximum capacity. And there's a lot of concern because you're talking stormwater management, 15 acres of motor vehicle surface, the timing of the application, the fact that they're allowing a larger facility, which would never have been allowed before. They rescinded that one ordinance. And, of course, the increased truck traffic on Route 15, 206 to 15. And the 15 doesn't open up to a dual lane till you get to where the little railroad tracks are and the that bagel station.
Uh-huh.
But it's one way as you go further up. And that's really problematic because these warehouses are not just for you and I. They're for huge corporations, I guess like Amazon and all these different companies, to store their stock. So these aren't going to be little trucks. It's, you know, really, this is a major thing. The one thing on their side now, I just noticed there was a change. New Jersey is going to issue its first guideline on warehouse development. I thought that was unbelievable. Yes. And so it's just the beginning, though, because this is the first time the state is issuing guidance on where warehouses should be located, how they should be approved to help municipalities deal with the growing number of proposals to build them. So the State Office of Planning Advocacy unveiled a draft version of the guidance in June to help municipalities that are looking for ways to provide economic opportunities, but still protecting the critical infrastructure and environmental assets of the area. So we shall see what happens, because they're unclear if it's going to be enough to deal with these confrontations and battles. And you know, it comes always down to this, you know, humanity versus economy. Here we go again. So let's see what changes will be made and how they're going to advance with this. We shall see.
And again, transitions, transitions, change, change.
Always. And it's just, how are we going to change? Are we going to do it in a balanced, bipartisan way? And I'm saying bipartisan now, meaning not politics, because of course politics will take ever, you know, the money, the economics, but also how about corporations versus humanity, the people that have been living there for years, and the sounds and the noise, because I can remember how long that battle went on in Vernon with that one particular fellow who was using his property as a dumping site. And these huge trucks were coming in, dumping who knows what. You know, the soil was not tested for years. It wasn't until Gottheimer jumped on it. And all of a sudden got the state, DEP involved to really start looking at this closer and testing the dirt. And also the very fact that these huge rumbling vehicles were coming all hours of the night, not just in the daytime, but at night as well. So there again, the traffic, the noise, and worst of all, the contamination of the soil, and it was contaminated. And of course, he was made to stop, and he didn't want to, and he was fined, and there was jail time. That's another thing to look into to see what's happening with that. But it's very interesting to see, and there's got to be a balance, because yes, you want jobs up here, but that's not going to really bring jobs here. It will affect the tax rate in the sense that they're bringing, you know, incentives in. But how is it going to affect people's lives in terms of commuting and those that have to live there?
Yeah, those are questions that need to be asked and challenges that need to be addressed because, again, while people are having these battles, other people are suffering.
Right. And again, you know, you don't want to say that sometimes people do things for their own reasons, you know, as that man did in Vernon. But, you know, you wonder sometimes. I mean, you hear about these stories, you know, all over. I've heard about it. I've seen them firsthand in one particular city where I had worked. And, you know, where deals are made and later on you hear about some of the stories from the people in the know, and that's sad. Nobody should be able to profit from something like this individually. That's all I'm going to say, and that's how I'll say it nicely.
You said it very nicely.
Yeah, because you have to. There's no way to be crude about it. And we have some changes going on that are positive for once. Gas prices coming down. We have the economic, you know, the EPI, the one particular economic protective agency, whatever it was, one group that does studies. It's a nonprofit saying that jobs are finally being made, like nice numbers of jobs. Of course, there's not going to be growth like this forever, but the fact that it is nice. And we're not talking jobs like, you know, menial jobs, which they were before. So hopefully people can get back into, you know, economic growth again. And we also now have, just passing out of the Senate, this new Inflation Reduction Act. And we shall see what happens when it goes to the House, if there's any changes. Of course, it went It was strictly party lines, but there was a point when they didn't even know if that was going to work until they worked with Manchin and Sinema. But it's a matter of rebuilding America, the support system, and, you know, kind of with a compromise package of inflation fighting, health care, climate change, deficit reduction strategies. So we will see what happens, you know. And, of course, this went on and on. You know, Joe Manchin was a holdout because he's the U.S. from West Virginia, and we could be not surprised about that because of the climate factor. You know, mining is a big thing in West Virginia. And we also know about the lobbyists, not just the job factor, but lobbyists, you know, the coal industry. So as it stands now, the 725-page Inflation Reduction Act, it will lower prescription drug costs, which is a big thing because Medicare program and Medicaid, it's going to allow them to finally negotiate prescription drug prices with the pharmaceutical companies.
Which is great.
This was a 10-year budget window. They've wanted to do this for 10 years. Lower costs for seniors on medications. A $2,000 out-of-the-pocket cap for older adults buying prescriptions from pharmacies, but it's also going to be used for free vaccinations for seniors who are now, they're only one of the few who are not guaranteed free access to vaccinations. It goes to your insurance company. Also will help pay for health insurance because there were some subsidies provided during COVID to help pay Americans, help Americans buy health insurance on their own, and that was under the earlier relief that extra help was set to expire this year, but this would allow it to keep going for a couple more years, lowering insurance premiums for people who buy their own. And I don't know anybody who doesn't buy their own anymore. And even if you were a public employee, I mean, if you were a teacher, that was one of the few benefits. You would get very few raises way back when. I remember people in the private sector would say, well, you went for the wrong job, but, you know, you did get health coverage, you know. But, you know, so what? You only got $100 or $300 raise. And, you know, we ended up under Christie paying into insurance like the private sector does on a sliding scale. So rather than being a flat percent, which would mean, like say it was 10%, the more years you worked, the higher your salary, it would always be more than the other people. No, you had to pay a higher percent based upon your years working. So maybe it would be like 7 to 9%, and then it would go maybe to like, you know, the teens, like 17 to 19. Then it would jump up to 27 to 31%.
Wow.
Of the insurance policy, yes. You know, so you ended up, rather than just doing a flat percent, which I think would be more fair, they made it on a sliding scale. And, of course, that affected people that were older and trying to prepare for retirement. And it also was incentive for people to say, you know what, why am I paying all this money? I'll do better with the pension. With my pension, I'll just take my pension as long as you had your years in, which they extended that as well. You know, that changed as well. So you didn't go out. Like at one time it was 25 and 55, and I could see changing it, you know. But it was harder because how are you going to save for retirement when you're constantly putting in for all of that and not getting the raise that you thought you were going to get as well? A lot of communities were flat, and they had no contracts for Patterson, no contract for 5 years, yet had to pay the percentage as it went up, even though they had a flat pay, nothing, no raise for 5 years. And that's just from the public employee standpoint. I know now with all this, private employees pay their own. Nothing is included with work. And, you know, there are major changes with the corporations making quite a bit of money. Large ones. I'm not talking small businesses because small businesses deserve every break they get.
Yeah.
It's these huge corporations that were like Amazon. I'm sorry, you know, Bezos. The money that man makes pays how much in taxes? and he's not the only one. And yet treats his employees like plagued. They're not allowed to go to the bathroom. They're not allowed to do this. They can't form unions. And somebody fights for a union, they are dismissed from the job. So, you know, it's got to change. And that's one of the things that's in there as well. So besides the health insurance and looking at trying to cut prescription drugs. Oh, and one of the things the prescription drugs farm industry, which is the second number two in lobbying, and I'm seeing the representatives in Congress that, you know, I'm getting nice money from the pharma industry. Now, there's going to be a cap on insulin because they wanted the cap to be – people pay big money for insulin.
Yeah.
And they wanted that not to be runaway prices, and that won't be exactly what they wanted. There's going to be some changes there. But it's going to be the single biggest investment in climate change. And that is good news. So they're talking about investments and rebates in renewable energy production, tax rebates for consumers to buy new or used electric vehicles, $60 billion for clean energy manufacturing tax credit. So that will be incentive for them to get away from doing the things they're doing. And then a production tax credit for wind and solar. And they're looking to support industries that can help curb the country's dependence on fossil fuels. And consumers are getting tax breaks to go green as well. So we shall see what happens with that. It's really important in a time, as we saw this summer, even in our own state, which is usually very rainy, where water is at a premium, and there have been drought conditions in quite a few counties, and restrictions on how you use the water. So we'll see what happens. And I know the Colorado River, they're talking about dealing with that crisis. When you start going out west, they're really concerned because they realize that 40 million people rely on the Colorado River as it goes from Colorado to Mexico. But overuse, climate change, the reservoirs are drying up at a rapid rate. And they don't know how they're going to deal with it because there's disruptions to delivery of water, and hydroelectric power across the Southwest are becoming more and more likely. And the seven states that depend on that river must now negotiate major cuts in water use this month, or you're going to have them imposed by the federal government. That's just the beginning. So, I mean, you have to start looking at it, you know. Reservoirs are drying up all over.
I know, that's a scary thing to think about, because without water, without drinking water, there's no life.
Right, and then you have to worry about the drinking water, because there are situations where certain organizations have not paid attention to the environment. I mean, we get environmental news within our lake on how to best take care of our lake and what you should and should not do, you know, in terms of the streams and the feeds that go into it and fertilizer and what you use to wash your laundry. And we're lucky in the sense that, you know, a lot of lakes are just man-made and some of them are natural and some are a combination. But you don't want your lake to die and overgrowth of algae, and we've seen that, you know, there's been situations with algae. And all of the lakes are working with the different environmental groups to constantly test them and make sure that the growth, algae growth, and anything else that's in it is safe. Even I don't want to hear that, oh, when they treat the water, it's safe for human and animal consumption within a day. Really? And then they'll find out 10 or 20 years from now that, you know, it's the same thing with all the rivers and the corporations that were dumping into the rivers and then all the different cancer clusters all over. So we have to protect our elements, you know, our air, our water, our earth. You know, no two ways about it.
No, no two ways about it. And I'm glad that this legislation passed, and it's a very positive step. I was getting concerned the way things were going up until the legislation was passed.
It's passed in the Senate. It has to make its way through the House. But There also is a lot of offshore, you're talking about offshore drilling, you know, bring clean energy and good jobs. And that's important. Safely delivering energy generated by the turbine. And in terms of, oh, I don't want to look at them. Oh, I don't want to listen to it. I'd rather listen to a little bit of wind than having the plant churning out things that are causing cancer. You can't breathe. You can't drink the water. So it's really interesting because one of the facilities they're looking at, it will be built on a site of a former coal-fired power plant in South Illinois, and that whole area was a horror, you know, disgusting. And so we shall see. You know, they're talking about revitalizing existing infrastructure to achieve the clean energy goals. They're not putting anybody out. They're not doing things that are, like, horrific in terms of, you know, the days of the on-site DuPont manufacturing and everything. They're going to look at that and cleaning up that whole area because, yeah, New Jersey was really big in manufacturing, but the controls and the penalties, I remember Green using that money for the penalties that we got for some of it, just to close holes in the budget. So, you know, they have to see that things are followed through all over. You know,
I'm losing you. I'm losing you a little bit, Astrid.
It must be the. That's another thing. The license isn't always reliable up here in the mountains, the mountain ranges. Let's hope we make it the next couple of minutes. I'll have to turn a certain way. But yeah, so we're starting to see positive change, and it may be negative for some in terms of the jobs or whatever, but there will be changes for the benefit of all, and there will be new jobs from the different methods of cleaning up what's gone on the previous years. How are we going to pay for it? That's the thing I hear. Well, guess what? We're looking at the first time in how many years of a minimal tax revenue on corporations. That is a big thing because when you think about it, corporations have not, or many of them, and we're talking people that have earned more than $1 billion. We're not talking small businesses. We're not even talking big businesses. We're talking mega corporations. It's going to be a new 15% minimum tax on corporations that earn more than $1 billion in annual profit. They've avoided paying the standard 21% corporate tax rate. Some pay nothing at all. And so this would kick in after the 2022 tax year and raise some $313 billion. So that's a big thing because, you know, the public's expected to pay taxes. And we, through the last tax reform, these major corporations got breaks, no taxes, minimal taxes, major breaks, and yet, you and I had every deduction known to man taken away while their deductions were raised.
Well, we've proven...
Something wrong with this picture.
Yeah, there is something wrong with the picture because the trickle-down effect that Reagan spoke of is a fiction. So we seem to be operating, or at least some of us, on the assumption that if you give benefits to large corporations, they will trickle down the benefits to their workers, and that has not happened.
Right.
Except in
what ends up happening, they found out, and it was proven, that instead of creating more jobs, what happened is the money was passed on to the shareholders. Well, lucky for you if you have that stock. But also incentives for the CEOs. The bosses made more money, and they were in the millions. It was frightening. And meanwhile, unions were discouraged. And I'm hoping it gets to a point where unions start getting formed again, or just to guarantee that people are allowed to go to the laboratory, that they're not told they must work 14 to 16-hour days if you want your job. These are the stories my parents told me that existed pre-union days, you know, after the war. And, you know, in the 30s and 40s, frightening, you know. We need, and through COVID, we found out how important the worker is, because that's what keeps things going. The stock profits may help you, you know, to put money in your pocket. I don't know that many that make that much except major money players. But what about surviving? Now you don't have people who can do the job. And that's due to many things. You know, a lot of times they say, well, to youth, they don't want to work. No, they don't want to work for $5, $6, $7 an hour, excuse me. But not only that, your seniors didn't want to. You were relying more and more on people extending their retirement age and working. And with COVID, they were terrified. So you lost a lot of people. I mean, how many did we lose? Over a million? I don't even know what the number is anymore. And, you know, we lost an astronomical amount of people. And the older workforce decided, forget it. I'm not going to, you know, take my chances in the few years I have left, expose myself to an illness where I can die. And then we went to virtual, and we saw that there were specific rules that had to be put in place for labor in terms of production. And then you have issues with the ports, and you have issues with, you know, going across the country with the truckers. And it's not smooth transition anymore. So let's hope that changes.
Yes, let us hope that changes. And we're toward the last few minutes of our conversation today. People can get in touch with Astrid through me, either on Facebook or through my email. And Astrid, you've done all this research and you've spoken very eloquently about transitions. Are there any last-minute thoughts you'd like to leave with people?
It doesn't only have to be, you know, what's going on in the major corporations. But, yes, you can make things by contacting your legislators. You can let them know what's important to you. You can do your research when it comes time to vote in November. But also look what you can change within yourself and with your own unit, your family and your community. What you can do for someone else to make it a better place, whether it's volunteering, you know, with your community group or a group that exists like Suffolk County has so many of them. And I'm so proud of this county for that. But also, you know, what are you going to do about your life? You have goals. Don't be afraid to try something. If you always wanted to take a watercolor class, take it. Do something that's going to make your life meaningful to you. Something you dream. You know, not always working, but find a dream and find something that makes you happy and make someone else happy, whether it's someone in your family or neighbor or somebody in the community.
Very wise words from a very wise person and a very good friend. Astrid, thank you so very much. I always enjoy our conversations, and you always have treasures of information to share with people.
And I thank you, and a deep gratitude for all the platforms you put out there, you know, to help people out and to give information. And I am so looking forward to one of the things that's made a major change in my life. But meditation with you and a direction whereas we can go deep within ourselves and see how we can make our life better through all these different experiences that we have with you.
Thank you for your kind words. I'm looking forward to Saturday as well. I've missed everybody. Thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you dialed in and you're patiently waiting in our queue, or whether you'll be checking us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Astrid.
And thank you, and thank all of our listeners. You know, safe transition.
Good night, everybody.